Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print-on-demand industry. Broadcasting to you from around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
I'm your host, Spencer. I'm joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host, Shannon. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Happy 5th of July, everybody, and welcome to the show. How are you doing, Spencer? How's your 4th?
I'm good. We had an awesome fireworks display. We did like a little picnic, like 9:30 p.m. picnic under the fireworks, which was a lot of fun. And we're just continuing to roll through July, so it's all good. Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it was like a war zone out here in Cincinnati. It was like bam, bam, bam everywhere. So fireworks were just going off. It was insane.
The one thing that's kind of cool is we went to go by the bay to see it. So you can see across it and around 9:30, you could start to see all the different cities doing their own fireworks displays because it's really wide open. So you could see like five or six going at once, which was really
sweet. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, but hey, let's get right into it. Today we have a special guest that's joining us, Ben Smith. How you doing, Ben?
I am doing great. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it, by the way. Thanks for having me on. This is exciting.
Yeah, we're pumped to talk to you, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got into print on demand.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Bay Area, and now I'm down in Southern California. And I guess my background is after I graduated from college, I was doing door-to-door sales, and I did that for about 2 years. And which was great. I had an amazing experience with that.
What was it? Southwestern?
With a company called Vivint, and we sold like alarm systems, essentially. They were like, it's called smart home systems, which is now kind of this, you know, the standard thing where you can control everything from your smartphone, right? So the product was actually really cool. And that was like, for me, the first experience in sales and just like the sales cycle and the sales process, which kind of laid the foundation for everything else. But it also started kind of getting my mind thinking like, hey, you know, there's got to be some better way to like sell products. And, you know, cause you can only knock so many doors in a day. So I started to think like creatively about how I could sell that product, you know, by hiring a team of people to do in a phone center or something, but none of that stuff really materialized. But I think kind of the important part is it got me thinking a lot more about like e-commerce. And that's when I started reading a lot, like the 4-Hour Work Week and all of that stuff. As I'm sure you guys have read like tons of those books. And really from there, I then got a job working for a guy who had a really big Amazon FBA business. And so I kind of learned like Amazon's ecosystem. And he was the first one that actually told me about merch by Amazon because he got like an early invitation, but he didn't really do anything with it. And so I kind of forgot about it. But then maybe like a year and a half later, I applied for it. And I think I got accepted like, I want to say like a few weeks later. What were your guys, when you guys applied, did it take a while? Because you guys have been on the platform for a while now, huh?
Yeah. I want to say it took me 2.5 months. I started in April last year and I think I applied in February or maybe a little bit before. It took a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think October of 2015, no, October of 2016, I applied and got accepted in November. So it wasn't that, it was about a month for me.
Yeah. But now it seems like people are applying and then they get accepted like the next week or 3 days later. It's crazy.
So
I mean, that's kind of how I got into it. And then, you know, I didn't really do too much. I put up a few like random shirts that I'd made myself. And then I was kind of also like dabbling with a little bit of like Amazon FBA and then also doing some Shopify stuff and trying to like make drop shipping happen. That didn't work too well. And so, yeah, I guess I kind of slowly started to see some success actually doing print on demand, but on like the Seller Central side of the business. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really utilize merch too much, but I created a bunch of products and then I was like hosting them in with Custom Cat as the fulfillment partner. And I used kind of Shopify as like my base. And then I just actually create like individual listings on the Amazon main page. And I still have those. I think that those got up to where like fourth quarter did like $1,500 in sales and the profit margin's like much better than merch is, to be honest. I still have it, but I'm like trying to focus more on merch. So yeah.
Ooh, there's a lot of good stuff in there. So I want to talk about like Shopify store first. And then about your dabble in FBA. What didn't you like about that? Was it that you had to invest in inventory on the FBA side, or was it that it was hard to drive traffic to Shopify?
Yeah. So I guess, I'll just touch on FBA first, but first my whole like thing is I really wanted to get into private labeling. And, you know, I was listening to, I think it was Scott Volker's podcast, The Amazing Seller, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with it or not, but I was listening to that every single day and chewing through those. But yeah, I guess the thing is I didn't have, this is maybe like 2.5 years ago, I didn't have the money that I felt you needed to like do a successful launch. I mean, there's a lot of people that talk about, oh, you can launch a product with $500 or $1,000. But I think now to do like a really successful launch, it's really looking like it's going to be more like $2,000 or $3,000, just for the style of products that I wanted to launch. So I think that was kind of the main thing that kept me from getting a little bit more into it. And I actually did launch a product, but it was like these little webcam covers. I still have stock there, but they don't sell because I got a ton of bad reviews. It just didn't go very well. And I tried to like rush into it. And so I think that was kind of like the catalyst for me to really start getting a lot more into the print on demand thing. And that's when I started getting creative again, going back to that kind of like creativity mindset with, hey, how can I do this? How can I launch essentially like private label items, but do it without any upfront like capital for inventory? And that's when I started doing the whole like using Shopify as the home base and then creating like a bunch of products in there just with simple designs that I made and then listing them myself like on the Seller Central page. And that was kind of the first thing where I started to see some success, I guess. So yeah, that's, I can dig into that more. And then I tried drop shipping too, so.
And now you're putting that on the back burner so that you can focus mainly on your merch business. Is that what you're kind of saying, or you're doing?
Yeah. So like, I still have that side of the business, and yeah. I actually want to, I think the biggest thing there is just that it's super, super time consuming to like, it's easy. It's not, I don't want to make it sound like it's hard, because it really is easy to build an Amazon listing, especially once you kind of know what you're doing. But it's time consuming when, let's say you have, you know, as you guys know, we have like 1,000 different designs, and then you want to put those on all these different products to push up like into the Amazon like marketplace. So that's kind of been, I think, that the hesitation there. And then merch is just such an easy process for me, especially like now I have, you know, I've outsourced all the design work. So I just do the research. I have like my flow kind of built out. And yeah, it seems like it's been really, really easy. And so that's kind of why, again, like I jumped into this last 30-day period where I just said, you know what, like I'm just going to focus on merch. And I see people are doing big numbers. So if they can do it, like why? There's nothing saying that I can't do it. So I think that was kind of the mindset for the last 30 days. And the YouTube channel and all that was just kind of to hold myself accountable. But a lot of cool stuff has happened out of it, including like meeting you guys and all. You know, I know you've had Chris from New Venture Entrepreneurs, like mm-hmm. him and I are doing a weekly thing. I've talked to Greg Priest a few times. So like there's a lot of kind of byproducts that have just come out of that focus on just merch and the platform. So I think that's kind of like why I've gotten more and more ingrained in it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think merch is a platform that rewards focus and repetitive uploading and seeing that you're, I mean, you can absolutely grow your account if you're hitting it. It's just like a numbers game at a certain point. Once you seem to have a good eye for like setting your process and then going for it. So like once you have your design idea process, your research down, actually making them and then doing keywords and then putting them up, those are kind of four different processes that you just have to put time into depending on how much you're outsourcing. So since you've been focused on merch, let's talk about that. What's the experiment that you've been doing on your channel? And what have you kind of learned from that lately?
Yeah. So at the, pretty much like a few days before the beginning of June, I kind of just said, you know what, like, let me just focus on this one platform. Let me kind of, with the goal, I didn't really want to set too crazy of like a monetary goal or anything, but my kind of rough goal was to max out I'm at tier 500 right now. So to max out my designs that are uploaded, because I feel like that's one of the things that's been triggering a lot of people now to get tiered up. So to max out my designs and then also kind of like build out my process. So outsource, you know, kind of build my entire like workflow, get all the tools that I needed and, you know, money. I think it's also the idea that like money loves speed, motivation, like all that stuff. When you push it all in at once and focus on one thing, like you can kind of get the airplane off of the runway. And once it's a lot easier for the airplane to fly once it's off the runway, but it needs that initial like speed to get down and get the, you know, the velocity to actually lift off. So I think that was kind of the mindset, but, you know, I do work a full-time job, so I love the side hustle like mentality, but I also, and I have to be focused on my full-time job. That really is still my main focus, but I needed something to hold myself accountable to actually do, you know, do my uploads every day, get the designer, like make sure I stayed on top of that. And so that was kind of, again, like the idea of this, what I call Merch Focus 30, which was like a 30-day all-out blitz. And so we just recently finished that a few days ago. I still need to make like the final wrap-up video.
Nice. So you maxed out all 500 slots?
So I got 300 because I had maybe like 30 shirts come down this month. So I have I have 298 uploaded right now. And then I have another 51, I think it's like 57 more designs my designer's done that I can upload. And then I was going to use, I think it's called like Merch Action. There's so many tools that I have now. I'm getting them all confused, but there's a Google Chrome extension that'll copy your listing. And then you can like open multiple other tabs and then add it on different products. So I think I was going to use that on some of my like top sellers to actually get to 500 slots maxed out.
Absolutely. That's a good plan. Using a tool like that helps.
What are you guys at tier wise?
Go for it, Shannon.
I'm at tier 4,000 and waiting to, well, I have about 2,700, I don't know, in between there, designs up. And wow. So I just have to get up the rest of my designs and should be able to tier up within the month for sure. I would think there's no reason why, unless I don't get my designs up, there's no reason I can't get my designs up. So
yeah, and I think just for a reference point, when we tiered up in the past, it was usually a function of like, do you have a little over 80% of your available slots filled? Mm-hmm. And then did you sell the amount of your top limit of that? So for example, for me, my tier is 4,000. I think I need to get at least 3,200 live to be eligible from like an upload standpoint. And then I'm at 4,400 some sold. So I think since I've crossed 4,000, I am eligible to tier up to 6K. That's my guess of how it works. That's roughly how it's worked in the past. So same goal as Shannon. I'm blitzing to hit that like 3,300 and just get to 6K as fast as possible.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, I think for me, it's like definitely trying to get to the tier 1,000 so I can start getting the uploads there for quarter four. Because last year, my quarter four was really what got me excited about like the whole platform and kind of allowed me to see like the potential there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think if you go into Q4 with at least 1,000, you can start blasting some of your best sellers on different products. And it really opens up a lot for you to play with like all the new products that have been out. Are you mostly doing shirts right now, and kind of what's your strategy on like pricing those, and what kind of success have you seen?
Yeah, so I actually haven't sold anything beyond like the normal t-shirt. I haven't sold, and I definitely have a lot more just regular t-shirts uploaded. I think it's very few that I have on like hoodies and everything else, but I haven't had really much luck with any of that stuff. So as far as pricing strategy, to get to about to where I'm at with tier 500, I was doing mostly like, you know, $12.99, where you're making like 9 cents or 5 cents. And then now I'm starting to actually price a little bit closer to the market for whatever that niche is that I'm in. And I'm actually kind of curious to hear from you guys, like if you think that's a good strategy or not, because I've had like a lot of people that have advised me one way or the other. Like a lot of people say, okay, if you price it that low, like, yeah, you're going to catch the low hanging fruit and hopefully get the BSR down and make some sales. But on the flip side, like it, maybe, I don't know if it's that psychological thing of like, hey, they see a $12.99 shirt and that doesn't seem like a high quality product or what it is. So I'm just kind of curious, like, do you guys think that strategy is still the way to go right now? The price low until you get like one or two sales.
Yeah. I'll go first. Initially on the platform, my strategy was just to price high, and then people were buying it at that initial price. And my theory was that If they bought it at the high price, that was awesome, and I didn't want any low sales. But I've changed that in the last couple months to be, I want my designs to stay on the platform. So I'm dropping it rock bottom to on every product that I put up to anchor that first sale. And for me, that gets it from this is coming down in 180 days to this is on potentially indefinitely. Could it get buried in search eventually if it doesn't get any more sales? Sure. But I like knowing that it's going to come up. I like knowing that it's I'm not going to have to replace that design in the future.
Right.
And then I kind of take like an all or nothing approach. I don't really look at the market for each one. After I make a sale, I jack it up to at least $5 of profit. And most of my most of my profit comes from like that $5.38 range. If it's hoodies and long sleeves, it might be a bit more. My theory is that if one person liked it enough to move it through the checkout process and they already bought it, then there's going to be somebody else out there who one sees that higher price, like you were saying, as a signal of value, and two is going to be willing to pay that price because for whatever reason, they like that design more than the others because that has already been proven by somebody else. So, I bought my shirts up, my lower tier shirts up to like a 1997, the basic shirts as soon as I sell one. What do you do, Shannon?
I mean, Spencer and I share a lot of similar strategies. So, I mean, originally I was just pricing everything at 1999 and just like every standard shirt just right there and just letting it go and just trying to upload as many as possible, not worrying about the price. But I think it is good to at least try to get that initial sale and then just bump it up. So dropping the price at first, I think it's a good strategy. I mean, whether it's $14.99 or $13.99, whatever it is, you know, in the beginning, we actually priced at $14.99 and then bumped it up after we got a sale, and that was working really well. And then for some reason, I just said, nope, we're just going to start. We're not going to worry about that extra step in there. We're just going to go straight to $19.99 right away. But we're transitioning back to doing that original strategy. I think it's good to like Spencer said, you know, you get that sale and then your shirt's on there forever. And that's what you want, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. So you guys, by the way, you guys are full time, like just doing merch full time right now. Is that correct or?
Yeah. I my background is in supply chain in aerospace. So I worked at a couple different jobs at a company for about 5 years. And then, it came time for me to decide whether I wanted to go into a different job at that company or what. And in the interim, I had moved out here to the Bay Area. Whereas previously I'd been in Cincinnati hanging out with Shannon. So, for me, it was just a time of a lot of change, and print on demand was something I really, really wanted to focus on. So in February, I said, look, I'm going to give this a shot.
Congrats. So I don't do this full time. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. I just, I've sold books door to door, just like you.
Oh really? Yeah. I can tell your eyes.
Not books. I didn't sell books, but what'd you say?
I could tell your eyes lit up when I said door to door sales, which is funny.
Yeah. Whenever I meet somebody that's sold door to door, like, oh wow,
yeah,
you know, it's just funny. You have to be a special person to do that, right?
Totally. Yeah, quite the career choice, that's for sure. I have a lot of friends that still do it, and you know, they love it.
Yeah,
so, you know, some people are made for it.
Really good, yeah, it can be a really good gig. But that was like, 10 years ago, maybe longer, and so I just. You know, my whole thing, like you, I was really after doing that, I was contemplating or thinking about how inefficient a business model that is and trying to make my own super efficient business model, I guess you could say. And when print on demand came around, it was like, this is like the most efficient business model I've ever seen before. You know, I've never touched a piece of I've never touched a t-shirt before. I've never seen the printing process. I've never shipped a shirt, and I've never, you know, ran, you know, a credit card on my own. Like, it's all just done on the cloud, and it's just, or in these platforms. It's amazing. It's the most efficient business model that I've ever seen. So,
Yeah, yeah. No, it gets me, like, just hearing you guys talk about it gets, you know, me really excited, because that's exactly how I look at it. I talk a lot on my channel that, like, all the t-shirts and the designs that you create are digital assets. Like, you're literally taking up a piece of real estate online. And, you know, even like, I've been talking to Chris a lot about this, but even if, like, you decide merch is not the long-term platform for you, you still have all those designs. You can go to Etsy, you can go to Shopify and build a brand. Like, that, and so I should think that's kind of the thing that really excites me, is that, like, it doesn't matter if, like, this isn't the end game, but you have all those assets, and maybe you decide one day you want to sell, like, your business or something, all of those things. Maybe you build a Pinterest and you get a following on that to help market your shirts. Like, all of those different things are going to play into that and allow you to do, like, so many things down the road. So
I love the phrase you said, a digital asset, because that is the phrase I've been looking for. You're so right about these. Like, we are not t-shirt sellers. Like, don't tell your friends that you sell t-shirts on the internet. That's not what you do, even though it is.
Right.
It's so much more than that. You have expertise in creating digital assets and distributing them and then selling them, whether that's driving traffic or whether that's optimizing keywords. And when you start to think like that, you start to unlock places like the strategies like you were doing with selling on Seller Central. You start to unlock, hey, maybe I should go after a higher margin platform. My margins on merch, 22% when you factor in royalties right now. And that's even when most of my shirts are priced at, like, that higher point. And then my margins on Etsy this month are 37% or last month. And I know they're going to grow this month because we're cutting some ad spend that wasn't working. So, like, you know, once you start to think in that way, you start to say, hey, maybe I can spend my time in merch in an efficient way. And maybe I should be spending my time building a longer term brand, and two, chasing some higher margins elsewhere.
Absolutely. I want to come back to that too, because I've heard in a few of the past episodes, you guys were thinking about going on to Etsy, but you hadn't, like, fully decided on doing it. So now are you guys, like, really going to push those other channels a little bit more, or?
Sure. I guess I'm kind of the Etsy evangelist on the show. So yes, I've been starting to push Etsy. It probably started about two and a half, three months ago. So pretty recent. Long story short, we did about $557 of profit on Etsy this past month. And we're starting to learn a lot more about ad spend, and we're really having a good time, like, delighting our customers with really engaging with them and getting some, like, really glowing feedback using Printful. They've really taken care of our customers. So I love that platform, and I'm going to put a lot more time and effort into it. I have two stores. I have a third niche store that I plan on opening hopefully this month. But yeah, Etsy is a great place to grow, even though they're having some changes coming up to their seller fee structure. Don't worry about that. It's water under the bridge. They're investing in the platform, and you can totally go in there and be a wolf in sheep's clothing, I think.
Yeah, same here. I've also gotten into Etsy, and I think last month we did about $1,000 in sales, and so $400 or $500 worth of profits somewhere in there, and it's awesome platform. I really wish Seller Central was Etsy.
Right.
it's Seller Central is so clunky and just, like,
yeah.
But Etsy has done it the right way. You know, and that's what I really, really like about Etsy. It's easy to navigate, easy to edit things, easy to see the analytics and everything, all the keywords that people are searching for your products and stuff. It's really awesome. So,
and then do you guys have, like, a generic Etsy store, or, like, I know you just mentioned kind of having a niche Etsy store as well, or multiple stores. So, like, how do you guys think about that process? Because I do have a generic store on there, but it needs so much work right now, but I only have maybe like 20 or 30 things on there.
Yeah. Ours is just a general catch-all store that we tried to break down into separate categories, which are like hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, tank tops, stuff like that. But there's nothing, but we have, it's everything's all over the place. So it's
right.
It's just like, we're just, the keywords are the thing that's, you know, that's what's driving people. I'm sure, instead of, like, people looking for our actual brand and then purchasing based off of that. It's probably better to have an actual niche.
Yeah.
But Spencer, you've had, that's where you're seeing some success, right?
Yeah. Same thing with the catch-all. I like how you said it, Shannon. People are just driven by the keywords and the pay-per-click. And then when they get to the shop, I'm sure they're, like, really confused because they find the stupidest stuff. It'll be like highly targeted athletic niche next to, like, you know, crass joke Cinco de Mayo mug. I'm shocked people get through checkout on that store. But it works. I think we've done over 100 sales. I mean, I'll just continue to put like some bestsellers up there and just iterate and just throw stuff at it. But the thing that has worked well and what I consider my best niche so far has been in like the printed products. So doing actually like wall art and posters. Mm-hmm. That store is my second store. And by the way, for anyone on Etsy, you can do two stores. The only thing you have to do is kind of disclose that in your about section of your portfolio. So make sure you list out all your stores and then Etsy will, they've also got a policy on it. So read up on that too, but you can do it no problem. But that store is good because it's around a niche of a certain style of product. And that's pretty much all we have up there. And that's 90% of my customers buy that product. That's how I market it. And that's how I'm going to be able to cross sell it easily on Amazon is because I'm able to hyper target what I know that market is. And that store has seen the most margin growth and then success. So I really want to double down. I think that's the closest I've come to being able to actually make a defensible brand is by focusing down.
And do you guys think you'll make anything, you know, like your own website, a Shopify or something else? Or for now, is it just staying on Etsy and merch and growing those? Or what's kind of the future outlook?
I burned money on Shopify for the last couple months. I had a store that was the back end to my catch-all, and I didn't put the love into it needed in like a design kind of point of view. And then I also didn't drive traffic to it. And I think from, you know, when we've talked to Greg Priest about this, you know, he's a Shopify expert, like you got to bring some expertise in driving traffic. And for me, like with my goal being $5,000 a month, I think there's that opportunity to not have to go to learn that traffic building skill set. I think that opportunity exists very, very easily. Well, not easily, but I think there's a ton of opportunity on Amazon, Etsy, and Seller Central and like Redbubble. I think once I go after that essentially low-hanging fruit by just scaling up and blasting designs out there, then I'll start to think about, okay, maybe is this printed product brand, is this really engaging people? And then start including like a packing slip, which pulls them to that site. But I don't know, $20 a month was hard to justify when I wasn't making any sales to bump up from the Shopify $9 to the $29. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I have, go ahead, Ben, go ahead if you want. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm curious. I want to know what you guys are going to do. So yeah.
I do have a Shopify store. It's also kind of like my catch-all, you know, online presence. What I like about it is that it branches out to eBay, Seller Central. You can add all these different sales channels through your Shopify store and even Etsy, you know, via the T-Launch app, or some people are using Printful. So it's, I mean, I like it because, but I'm not sending traffic to it. So do we get a lot of sales there? No, but we do get some sales on a monthly basis. Just
do you
a
get
few
emails?
What'd you say? That's the big thing. Yeah. We get emails every month as well. I'm not doing a good job of like blasting a message out to them every week saying, hey, check out our new products. But, we are gathering more and more emails every single week. So that's worth, I think, a lot. Once we start taking advantage of that, it will be worth a lot. So
totally.
We're going to keep using our Shopify store and building it out for sure.
Yeah. I've been having that debate back and forth in my own head, but I mean, it all goes back to like the beauty of Amazon and like, I guess Etsy as well, is just that I don't know any other platforms where you can get so many sales organically. It blows my mind like every time I sit down and really think about it. And I think that people forget to think about that is like you are playing by Amazon's rules. They do own the customer, but there's so many things that they do for you, including driving the traffic, and you literally just collect royalties, which is it's pretty insane if you think about it.
Yeah. I think the important thing to realize there is that you know, I say step one is taking advantage of the Merch by Amazon platform and using that as like your cash cow or your cash flow source.
Right.
And then invest that money into creating your own brand so that you have 5,000 people on a list an email list that you can email on a weekly basis and basically guarantee your own sales there. Because if something happens to your Merch by Amazon account, you don't have any customer list, you don't have anything. I mean, they might not even pay you your last month's royalties. I mean, you've heard horror stories. So, you know, you have to be careful. And I just think of the long-term play is using that Merch by Amazon cash to build your own brand out and so that you can own that customer and delight that person and make them a customer for life. So.
Totally. By the way, do you guys, have you been selling pop sockets yet? I still haven't gotten them on my account, but I'm curious if they've been like actually moving.
I have not put the love into pop sockets yet. I've been putting them on like all the t-shirts and stuff first. And then once I finish a certain set of batches of designs, then I'm going to focus on creating new stuff for pop sockets because they need to be resized. From what I've heard, people are selling a little bit faster than they have been on shirts. But I can't attest to that. Shannon, have you sold any?
I don't have a single one up yet. Okay. I've been so focused on other things that it hasn't even come to my mind yet. I just not. But that being said, there's plenty of people online on Facebook groups and different places online that are talking about where they made sales from pop sockets. So they're definitely selling. I've definitely seen people selling.
There's a good tool. When I do start, I'm going to use this tool called like Merch Resize. I think I found it on the Merch Informer blog. That really simply, it's like a web tool that allows you to take your existing designs and really make them nice and clean and easy for pop sockets. Because I could do a Photoshop action for that, but it's already scripted to do that for you. So when you get them, I think you could even go in and resize a bunch of your designs to have them in the queue for when you get those released. I think I would be surprised if they didn't get released to you soon. And then you could just blast them out there. I think pop sockets are a good opportunity to like anchor down a niche that might be taken in shirts.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping to get those. And then I think for me, I'm not really as excited about pop sockets, but I'm just excited about the opportunity that they're going to continue expanding into like, you know, other non-apparel items and goods, which I think could be a really interesting prospect if they start pushing that stuff more. Shows they're willing to invest in that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm encouraged by that too. Is there anything that like, so as you're looking to expand your business, like what is frustrating or difficult so far? I know your time is limited because you're working a full-time job too. What would be the biggest thing that would be able to help you scale up your business faster, do you think, if it could get taken care of?
Yeah. I mean, biggest pain points, I guess where I spend the most time, and that is obviously, you know, building out listings, doing the research, cause I still do those myself. The designs, that's taken care of, but yeah, I mean, I don't have anything obviously to cross list to other places just because I also haven't really been expanding off of Amazon too much. That is something I want to do, but, yeah, I've definitely been trying to like take a deep dive on tools and using these tools like Merch Informer has been a game changer, obviously. And so, yeah, I think that the biggest pain point is just the time it takes for research and building out the actual listings right now.
Yeah. I was curious what your workflow process looks like. Like, where do you start? How do you organize your everything, your content? And then you mentioned your designs are taken care of. Does that mean you have a designer or are you using like a design firm?
So my the process I pretty much like built out this month, I have right now only one other designer because I can't warrant a second one at tier 500, but I'm sure as I get into kind of like the higher tiers, I'll build that team out. But I have a designer in the Philippines, and so essentially I'll do the research using Merch Informer, whatever other tactics like we've kind of developed. And then we have a shared Google Doc. So I'll put like each line item will be a different shirt. And on that, I'll put, you know, the niche. I'll put the exact text I want him to put on it. If it's like a text base, I'll put what style of design. And then I'll put links to three or four different like inspirations, whether it's either a shirt, but sometimes it's not another shirt. I'll put maybe just like let's say I do a farming t-shirt. I might just search on Google farming, go to images, and then send him the link to that exact search result if I like the, I guess, kind of the aesthetics and the palette that surrounds that. So I'll put like at least one to three links in there, and then I'll try to do 10 a day. He'll do those designs and then he'll upload them into a Google folder, and then with the date on it, and then I'll go in, I'll pull all of those down, and then I'll manually go in and upload them to merch right now. So that's kind of the current flow. I think the next step with my designer is to actually teach, I mean, I don't know if I want to do this yet, but I might do a few trial days, is to actually teach him how to do the research, because a lot of the research right now, I mean, there's definitely a lot of basic processes that I think he could easily do and I'd feel comfortable. Like, for example, on Merch Informer, I know you guys are probably familiar with like the Trend Hunter. Do you guys use that one at all?
I used to, yep.
Yeah. So like just simple things like that, like creating a video, that's kind of like my next stage, is creating a few videos saying like, hey, this is how I want you to start doing research, and, you know, show them like how you can go to Merch Informer, the Trend Hunter, and then utilize that to essentially find different niches that you might not have thought of. And then tell them like, hey, these are the criteria I want you to find before you say, yes, this is a go ahead shirt. And I mean, it's again, going back to, but the 4-hour work week, like, Tim Ferriss talks a lot about like outsourcing. And I think like if you're very detailed with the criteria and then giving kind of like, you know, some basic allowances to, you know, empower the people that you have working on your team, I think you can do a lot more. So that's kind of like my next stage right now.
I think that's a really good way to go. But I think you should totally train that person to do research for you. And even like, it's funny because your process sounds like exactly how I was starting it out, with the category and you write the text and you do the style, like, and it works. And then I think with the research part of it, like, I remember writing the criteria too. It was like, okay, you're going to go on Merch Informer, you're going to find 100K to 300K BSR. It's going to be like this design style. And then even if, it's kind of hard to let that trust go sometimes, and you're just like, you know, I have this eye for it, but you can even have them just give you a big list, and then you can go through that list as kind of a pre-filtering step too. And then once you're comfortable and you can iterate a bit, all you have to do is give them a couple rounds of feedback, and they'll surprise you with how good they are. So I think that's an awesome way of thinking. I like how you're evolving it. I'd love to see you like let the reins go and then free yourself up to focus on the bigger things, you know?
Totally. That's the goal. But I'm curious, like, what do you guys do? Cause you're obviously, you know, where I aspire to be hopefully in a few months. So like what changes once you leave tier 500 and now you're operating on scale and maybe you guys have bigger teams? Like, I'm curious to know a little bit more about your workflows.
Sure. Go for it, Shannon.
So we have, 3 designers now. And, as you move up in tiers, I used to use Google Drive all the time. And that's where we would live, in Google Drive. And we would use Google Sheets to, you know, organize all of our data, all of our content. And each design would be uploaded there. And then the title would match what's in Google Sheets. And then all the content would be written out. And it becomes a disaster because you have thousands of designs, you know, designs that are still uploaded, some that are down, like, taken down, and you're trying to keep everything under one roof and trying to understand, well, did we upload this to Seller Central as well? Like, where is it online? Like,
where are my keywords?
Where are my keywords? There we go. And we got to this point where I was just like so frustrated, and because I just was hard to keep everything organized. And so I created a software program called Merch Along that helps people, well, helped us get all of our information and our content and our designs and everything in one place. And it automatically creates like all your products at the same time, just by putting in your keywords. Cause you can set up a template and it just does it all for you. And then now it uploads all of your designs to all your products, Merch by Amazon products, up to Merch by Amazon with just a click. So that's what we use now, because it's just, yeah, it works really well. So, that's what we do now. And, it's good.
Now, does it push products live just to merch, or can you like also push them to other platforms?
Right now it has, TeePublic, Spreadshirt, and Threadless as well. And we're about to add Redbubble, in probably a week or less. There's a few things we got to fix there, but yeah. And then we'll just continue adding more and more platforms. So anything that you've already created in Merch Along, when we add a new one, you can just go back and just click, 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 and then it just, boom, you know, up there, to all these different places. So it saves a huge amount of time and money, because if you're paying someone to do this for you, you don't have to do that anymore, or they can just go in there and do it for you. Like they can just upload for you. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Were you guys paying like people to actually do your uploading for you in the past, or?
Yeah, it actually got me a little bit in trouble in January because Amazon changed their terms of service. So, right. So yeah, I had somebody from the Philippines and somebody from Eastern Europe that was logging in, and then myself from America. You know, everyone's like, all these IP addresses are coming in from all over the world. Oh,
wow, this guy's really traveling around quick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just, yeah, I have my own private jet.
And I grind on merch.
Yeah. And so Amazon kind of just didn't like that. So they just, bam, suspended my account I couldn't upload. I still made sales, but couldn't upload for 30 days. And then by groveling and, you know, saying, oh, merch, please take me back. You know, that's right. What they did.
Yeah.
It's the point with them, it can be a little frustrating, is that, you know, we're obviously asking for tools to grow our business faster at the end of the day. And then like with our content policy, I'm dreading going through my listings with the change where it says, oh, here are some vague guidelines about things you can't include anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going to go through and remove premium from my premium shirts, even though that's what they're called. Do I know that that's going to come through? And be something that I could get banned for or whatever. I don't know. They don't even tell you what could happen. So yeah. I think we're as sellers, you know, this is like totally yelling into the void as an Amazon seller. I should know better. Just go read anything in Seller Central forums from the last right. 10 years. So don't get your hopes up, but it is frustrating when you're trying to scale your business where when you grow, Amazon grows. And, I know it's still a relatively new program, but I think that excuse can kind of be running out a little bit. You know, you roll out things like Merch Collab, you roll out PopSockets. It's like, okay, those are focused on bringing more products and more revenue, but you know, you could also bring more revenue by helping the seller. You know, it doesn't always have to be the boot on the little guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, frustrating. They could eat. Yeah. There's so much they could do that they haven't, But
that's why it's good to diversify away too. It's almost a good excuse. Like if my merch account were to get banned, I would go, great, let's do it. It wouldn't go great, but I would go into Etsy.
Totally.
Mindset would be, here, let's build a brand on Etsy. Number one, let's get on Redbubble. That's where I see a lot of traffic too. And let's cross sell on Seller Central. I'm super excited about that. So yeah, merch is a cash cow. I don't see it as a long-term play. I just want to be there to ride along for the changes that are going to happen. Cause I do believe that they're going to make changes. I would love to see them open up international distribution and things like that. But, yeah, I kind of got away from your question. I want to answer that real quick. My workflow has been a little bit strange lately. I've been kind of shutting down my VA spend and focus on doing some things myself because my existing design portfolio isn't live on merch and other platforms yet. So my focus has been get the portfolio in merch along, make sure everything has keywords, which makes it much easier to play with after that. And then I'll go back to hiring a couple of VAs that are on standby to do some research. I do a lot of scaled designs for better or for worse. So most of my research right now is trying to take advantage of slots and things like, you know, location-based shirts or things that I could just bang out like a 50 state variation design really quickly. That's, you know, it's evergreen, it's low conversion. There's a lot of uploading. There's a lot of ones that come down, but it's consistent and I don't have the best eye for trends. So that's what I do.
Do you guys mainly focus on evergreen versus trends in general?
I do.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
But and, I will say, like trends, we've seen some people in a Slack group like hitting good World Cup trends. I think one of the guys in there did over 1,000 sales last month in like mostly World Cup shirts. Wow. If you hit one, I mean, I know, remember when we were talking to Blake in like February, Shannon, that he had hit a trend or two that really skyrocketed his account. So he was almost playing catch up on the uploads. He's like, oh, I had, you know, X amount thousand of sales. He still like only has, you know, 100 or so live. I think since then he's tiered up, you know, super, super fast. But a trend can serve to be like a quick cash injection and also get like a tier booster. I just don't have an eye for it, or at least I haven't tried enough.
Sure. Yeah. I'm the same way. I've just been not that I've been avoiding them, but I've definitely been focused on just kind of the evergreen niches, and that seems to be working. So yeah. Yeah. I'm cool. I guess another question for you guys is like, what are the secret strategies you have right now that are like really working well for you? Like, is there anything crazy you've been experimenting with or doing that's all of a sudden like turbocharged your business, or you've definitely seen like something noticeable?
Yeah, I'll start. The number one thing that is changing my business right now is I went on Etsy. I did competitive research. Like, look, if you want to sell something on Etsy and you're not started yet, go to printful.com and look at all of those products. You can sell anything on there. You can go to tlaunch.com. They have better margins. You can sell anything on tlaunch. Okay. And it's not that hard to set up the integration. So those are your opportunities with products at the very least. So what I did is I'm like, hey, posters are cool. I started clicking around. I did like maybe a couple hours of competitive research on, hey, what posters are selling? You know, what ones have high reviews? What ones have high margins? What's that style? You know, what kind of keywords are in there? What are people looking for? So, you know, invested in some design content, spun that around, did my own twist on it with my own style, and then started marketing the crap out of it with knowing how to do keyword research, promoting it with paid listings. And that part of my business is probably going to be the biggest niche that I see grow this year. So long story short for me, go do some competitive research on Etsy, because you can see everything. Some stores will have available, you can look at all their sales, you can look at their price points, you can back into a margin. You can do so much on Etsy that you can't do on merch with just a BSR. That's my biggest secret that has accelerated my business right now. And I probably am going to repeat that one or two times this year, whether it's a different store or not, it's going to be with a different product, excuse me, and just go from there.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't have any like secrets or anything other than just, I think it's just about the hard work, putting in the time and the effort and the focus on uploading as many designs as fast as possible. And I mean, good quality designs. I don't mean just trash, but I mean,
sure.
Getting the more you get up, you know, the better chances you have of making it a success. So,
yeah, I would echo that. The one thing that differentiates my product on Etsy is that it's high quality, and that I had to pay a couple hundred dollars for the design content. But once you, yeah, people will pay for good value.
Yeah, that's, I mean, to be honest, another thing that just I'll harken back to is like, for me, actually paying, I'm not a designer. So paying, shelling out the money to pay for all my designs has been a complete game changer, because I've never really spent a lot of money on investing in these kind of businesses. Just, I haven't really wanted to, you know, even with like Shopify and dropshipping, I spent a little bit on ads, but you know, it was only maybe like $100 with the designs. So it's, you know, it's a significant amount of money, like once you're doing it on scale. And I think that also has kept me like even more hands-on with the business and really wanting to make something happen with it, because like I've put money into it. So I need to get some kind of return, if not now, then down the road.
Yeah. I think that will come back to you. And it's all experimenting. The fun thing about this business is that you can iterate really quickly. Something doesn't work, great, change it. And you're just like constantly getting better and better if you've got that mindset, which you do.
Totally.
What are your goals? Go ahead, Shane.
Just one last thing about that. I think it is really important to be on your merch, working on your merch business, but also, like I said earlier in the show, diversifying to different platforms, or at least having it in the back of your mind that you're going to start building your brand. And whether that's through, you know, your Shopify store and Seller Central, or on Etsy, or even on eBay, somehow defining yourself as an actual brand name, you know, that is on the packaging that they get, you know, instead of merch by Amazon. Totally. So I think you're only setting yourself up for a lot more success if you're doing that in the future. And the sooner you can start, the better.
Yeah. So where do you want to take this, Ben? Like, you're working a full-time gig. Do you want to keep it as a side project? Are you doing this to learn skills? Like, do you have a number you want to reach before you jump into it? Like, what are you thinking on where you want to be for the end of the year and then beyond that in your online businesses?
Yeah, I right now the plan is just to keep growing it, and I mean, I definitely want to get it first. Like, I think the first milestone is to making like a solid $100 a week consistently, and then I like the idea of incremental growth, so that would be kind of my first main milestone. Right now I think I'm maybe around like $50 a week or something, so it's nothing. Yeah, it's nothing like insane yet, but I've seen the potential and the proof of concept is there. So I think right now it's about growing into quarter four, and I'm not focused on necessarily like high royalties. I'm more focused on that growth and trying to tier up and continue to tweak these systems. But yeah, I think, you know, in the past I've had like those self-limiting beliefs like, hey, you know, I don't know if I can really make this whole like online business thing happen. And I think, again, that's another beautiful thing about merch is that you can start seeing sales like really quickly, and every single sale that you get is kind of like another, I don't know, like a little proof of concept or like a little motivator, like, hey, yes, you can do this, or yes, it is going to work. People do want the stuff that you're creating. It's not like you're just creating, you know, garbage. And so I think that the goal, yeah, is just to kind of keep like building, and I'd like to get the merch. This is a long-winded way of saying it, but I want to get merch to maybe $1,000 a month, then get Etsy up to like $500 a month. And hopefully have like, you know, a few other channels like Redbubble, eBay, Shopify. And, you know, that's when I think you can really start to play around with it a little bit more and maybe, you know, test out some advertising spend, maybe test out doing something like building out a brand on Shopify. But I think that's kind of like where it's just like with the designs, you can't really play with your designs too much and like really branch out until you're, you know, in tier 500. And I feel like now I have more leeway to play around with designs and like what my style is. And more so like as you grow, but I think it's the same like from a monetary standpoint is once you're making like $1,000 a month and you can prove that that's like a consistent income, you can play around with these other like new strategies or different things. So I think that's like the goal right now is I definitely want to see, you know, first $100 a week and then get up to hopefully, you know, $1,000 a month consistently for three months, 6 months, something like that.
Nice. I love the way you're thinking about it, man. I mean, it's hard to give yourself the self-confidence that this is a real thing. I struggle with that still. You know, that's part of what we love about interviewing people and talking and being transparent. Like if you want to go see like how I was at $0 on Etsy a couple months ago, we just put our income reports up on our website. So like we throw everything out there, like, because that helped for me. That was like, you know, I enjoy seeing that from other people. And when you're struggling with like coming from a cushy job to doing this for yourself, it's like, you know, am I in the right business? Even though you're seeing sales and you're seeing this validation, like you want somebody who will be real with you and to show you that it actually works. So like, you know, I think those are realistic goals. You know, I totally think you can do $1,000 on merch, you know, in a couple months. You've already got sales on there. You're already proven the concept. You've already got your workflow. So it's just a question of time and how much work you put into it.
Totally. So I think that's the thing that gets me most excited about it all is like at the end of the day, you like once you let's say like you're, you know, at $50 a month. Okay, well, if I put in 10 times what I've already done, I can maybe, you know, obviously it's not going to be a direct correlation, but get to $500 a month. And putting in 10 times more is really not like for me that's like, okay, well, I'll just stay up all night for the next like 3 weeks and get that done because then I'll have that like monetary, you know, goal completed hopefully or whatever it is. So I think that's why I go to like back to that incremental mindset of like totally saying, okay, if I already have this and I have 300 shirts live on one platform. Well, what if I get to 3,000 shirts live and I have them on like two or three different platforms, you know? So.
Yeah. And I think most people can relate to seeing 80% of their sales coming from 20% of the products that they put out.
Right.
Or less.
Totally.
And at least that's the way it is for me too. And I just like, the sooner I can get more, you know, designs up, I know the monetary number will raise as well. So, yeah, it's just all about the hustle of getting out there, staying up at night, right?
So Ben, I want to be mindful of everyone's time. I think we're on an hour. That flew by super quick. I want to know if people can, if they want to find you online, you know, where should they go to connect with you? Where should they go to find your content?
Yeah, probably just the YouTube channel right now. I'm still kind of, since I just finished this whole like merch focus 30, I'm like trying to figure out what am I going to do for the next 30 days with YouTube. But I've really been enjoying like the whole content creation thing. So yeah, I'd say the YouTube channel is probably the best place right now.
Cool. And that's just called Benjamin Smith, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't even know if I have like a custom link or anything. I'm new to all this. So I'm still like learning how it works.
No worries. Hang out with us after the show, and we'll give you some tips if we can. Perfect. So,
we'll put your link in the description as well.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Did you already say that? Sorry.
No, we're good. So let's pull a wrap on it. Thank you, Ben, for coming on the show.
Yeah,
this has been episode 24, man. We're like, I want to follow up with you. Let's set a date in like 3 or 4 months to check in like the pre Q4. Cause I want to, you know, if you're looking for some accountability, maybe you can hold us accountable too.
Yeah, I would love it. Definitely do that. Thanks again for having me, by the way. This has been fun. I've been following you guys like since your first episode. So it's been like cool to watch your growth too. So
thank you, man. Cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that means a lot, actually.
That's cool. Day one OG.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Take care, Ben. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds good.
All right. See you, Ben.
Thanks for listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content. As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com.